This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Very cool to be introduced by Peter Hitchener. Thank you very much.
Isn't it?
On Joy 94.9. I'm Zoe Daniel, here with Josh Burns and Macca and Fiona.
Thank you. And guys, it's fantastic. Again, you know, you've given up already an hour and giving up another hour of your Saturday. I really appreciate that. All your constituents out there that are wondering where you are, they are here in at the Pride Centre. I wanted to ask, and Fiona and I have got some questions. We're going to do a little bit of a reprise. So, Zoe, how does it feel to be behind the microphone again asking the questions?
Quite normal,
yeah.
Actually. Yes. Time's a funny thing, isn't it? It's like you just revert back to where you were as if you've never left it. I was telling Josh earlier that I was in radio for 9 years before I was a television journalist, predominantly as a broadcaster, so initially as a radio producer and then as a presenter. And some of our listeners might recall that I used to pretend to be John Fain quite a lot on 774, so it does feel very familiar.
God, fancy having to be John Fain.
Josh, I have a question for you too. How does it feel to be, you know, asking the questions? I mean, when PK says that's an incredible question, I'd be like thrilled, going, oh my God, I asked the right question. How does it feel?
Well, she's definitely just fluffing the feathers there. I think it's very generous of it. No, it feels really good. It feels like an opportunity to think about how you'd want to, and what direction you want to take the interview, and where you'd want to start them, and where you'd want to finish it, and it's a very different skill and a very different craft, really, to be behind the mic. But it's so important, and I think, you know, even though I've never worked as a journalist, and Zoe has had a really successful career as a journalist, I do really respect the profession, and I do really believe in the profession. I believe in an independent media, and as someone who has been in politics for a long time, I do really value journalists who also see the importance of an independent and strong fourth estate. And it's never been harder in our democracy, but possibly never been more important as well.
I'll ask you first, Zoe. Is our politics broken?
Well, I think trying to contribute to fixing it, and it's a work in progress. I do think I'd be interested in Josh's reflections on this, especially apart from anything else. Josh was in the parliament, obviously, before me, so he has a point of comparison, whereas I was sort of an outsider looking in before. But I think the way that we operate in the parliament has changed somewhat since the 2022 election, but I think there's a long way to go. And I do, as I alluded to in the conversation with Patricia, the media plays a part in this, in the way that they report, in the honesty with which they do or don't report, and the increasingly partisan nature of media, I think, is problematic for democracy. And I worked in the US for several years, obviously, and you see that development of a pattern where people listen to, watch or read only what they already believe to validate their position rather than to challenge their position. And increasingly we're getting to that point in Australia, and I think that's very dangerous.
Josh?
Yeah, I don't think politics is best when it's shouty. When people are just trying to shout at each other, there's no space for a conversation, and there's no space for respectful dialogue. And the truth is that in Canberra, there is a bit of shouting going on that people see during question time and during some of the theatrics of Parliament House. But the truth is that there are a lot of conversations that go on, a lot of collaboration that goes on in the committee stages. We do really try and work together. And my view, I don't really know why this is controversial, but I think it might be, is that regardless of what political party you come from, most people, not all, but most people who come to Canberra are not doing it for some sort of self, you know, glory. There is a bit of ego up there. I will admit that. But a lot of people who come to Canberra are just trying to make a difference for our country and just trying to make a contribution and to try and improve the country in some way, shape or form. And if that's your motivation, then there is room for conversation. There is room for collaboration. And we are not, you know, we have political stripes, whether they be attached to a party or not. But I do think politics is best when it is not shouty. And when there are conversations across the board in the interests of the people that we represent, in the interests of the country.
Well, I was also thinking about how we've certainly seen the way that mis and disinformation is being utilised, for example, during the campaign for The Voice, and how that seemed to set a tone for how the media and the politics is going and politics is going to work going forward into the next election. And it has raised quite a few alarm bells in many different areas to see how dangerous that this could potentially be. What do you think is going to be a way of counteracting this particular risk that is going to be upon us almost any minute?
So, look, I have some really extensive views about this, which we could talk about all day. And I did, you know, I mean, I basically wrote a book about Donald Trump's capacity to seed disinformation and to manipulate public opinion. And he is just a genius at that. And we see that sort of infiltrating our political and media environment here in Australia. The issue that we have is that negative information and sort of combative information travels a lot faster and more easily, especially in social media, but also in mainstream media, which is now driven by clicks, than the truth and positive information. The only way to narrow the space for that disinformation, in my mind, is to flood the environment with truth and facts. And that takes a lot of work. And it's much harder. It's a much harder sell than all of the negativity and, to be fair, sometimes lying that is in that space now. And so when it comes to The Voice, for example, there was a lot of stuff floating around, especially on TikTok and other social media channels. It just ran like a wildfire. And I have a view that the only way to combat that is to fight fire with fire and to flood that space with viral factual information. And I think that's what we need to be thinking about to rebuild and retain trust from people.
You know, Donald Trump says, you know, he's a very successful real estate developer and all that. You know, he's bankrupted lots of companies too. But, you know, really he should be recognised as being the penultimate person who can monetise disinformation through his fundraising. The tens and hundreds of millions of dollars that he raises from his supporters when he goes, you know, when he stands in front of a camera on a microphone and just talks, and I can say this, absolute shit. And then people go, oh, I'll give him $5, I'll give him $100. And I just think, I look back, he's raised nearly $500 million from lying. It's pretty lucrative. It's pretty lucrative.
We don't get that on Saturday Magazine, unfortunately.
No one pays us. No one pays us. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. You're not going to hear from me for a little while now because Josh and Zoe are taking back complete control of the microphones and we'll have some more guests in a moment. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.